so let's get started over here as it is, right? So we're going to begin the third paragraph, continuing on the topic, continuing basically on the topics from the previous paragraph about the Kohen Mashiach bringing his korban when appropriate, and the king bringing his korban when appropriate. So we're going to deal with more details. So Mishnah starts off. Kohen Mashiach Shachotah, bottom of Tesla Mabit. Kohen Mashiach Shachotah, if the Kohen Mashiach committed an Aveira of the type where he's going to have to bring his power, and then he left his Mashichos, so either, in other words, for example, he became old or developed a mum or whatever and couldn't serve in the Beis Mikdash anymore, or you could even have he was appointed only temporarily to substitute for another Kohen God or whatever. Or similarly, the Nasi, the king, who did an Aveira, and then afterwards is deposed or otherwise leaves the kingship. Still, they still bring their special korbanos, Kohen Mashiach. Maybe parban, Nasi, maybe sir. The Kohen Mashiach will still bring a par in that case. The Nasi will still bring a sir in that case because they committed the Aveira when they were in their special position. On the other hand,
and if they wait too long?
No, it doesn't matter. As long as they committed the Aveira when they had their position. On the other hand, Mashiach sh'ovam im sh'chotei v'achakach chotah, what happens if the Kohen Mashiach is deposed or whatever, leaves his position, and then he commits the Aveira, v'chein ha'nasi sh'ovam v'dolosei v'achakach chotah, or the Nasi leaves his position, and then he committed the Aveira. So then it depends. Kohen Mashiach may be par. If he's a Kohen Mashiach, he will still bring a par. That still remains whether he's the acting Kohen Gadol or not, as long as he was anointed the Shemana Mishka. V'ha'nasi kehediot, however, the Nasi status will change in that case. He will bring like a head. He will bring like an individual. In that sense, he still has his dignity. He still has his rule. Yeah.
Okay.
So we'll see in the Gemara. So the Gemara first asks on the wording of the Mishnah. If we're going to say, the second part of the Mishnah is saying that if the Kohen Gadol was deposed and then he does the Aveira, even then he brings the power, even though he committed the Aveira long after he left the office of Kohen Gadol, why does the Mishnah even have to mention the idea that, and it's the other way around, if he committed the Aveira while he was still acting Kohen Mashiach, why does he even need to say it? What's the Chiddush in it?
That's what I was about to ask. What's the Chiddush?
That's the question. So Rashi brings over here a couple of different gersois and a couple of different lashonis of exactly what the Gemara's question is, but basically that's what it is. In other words, that why does the Mishnah need to tell us that the Kohen Mashiach will bring the korban in the first case, even in the second case? The answer is, you're right, as far as the Kohen Gadol, it's not much of a chiddush. Mishum de katoni gabi nasi de ki ovam in si ose v'achaka chota kehedi et maizi. Since the Mishnah has to tell us that with the Nasi is different, once he leaves his position, then he was chota, then he's like a head, yet. Therefore, to go together with that, he mentions the two cases by the Kohen Mashiach.
If the Nasi is different, you could have thought maybe also the Kohen Mashiach is different.
But also it's a parallelism. Once it mentions Kohen Mashiach, in one part of the Mishnah it mentions the Nasi. Once it has to mention the Nasi in one part, it mentions Kohen Mashiach in the other, and the same thing in the second part. Menani Mili, where do we know this from? That even though the Kohen Mashiach left his office, he still, for the rest of his life, is still going to bring a power. Again, provided we have all the criteria from the previous parak. Like this, the Tanan Abonon, the Pasuk is Vehikra of Chatase. The Pasuk is bring a korban for his chet. Malamacha may be Chatase Misha'avar. That teaches us that regardless, he brings his korban for his sin, even after he, as long as it was Al Chatase, as long as he committed this type of Avera, and then it fits all the criteria, then he's going to bring the power. Now, if you didn't have that pasuk, you would think to make a kavah chomer to say that not. Uman nasi shemeve b'shigas maise, madach a king who brings a korban based only on shigas maise. Again, as we said before, he doesn't need helam dover, he doesn't need to have made a wrong hurrah. Nevertheless, ein mevi chatos mishaavah, he still doesn't bring his regular chatos after he's dismissed from his position. He just brings like a commoner. Mashiach shein maybe b'shigas ma'ase el al helam dover b'shigas ma'ase. So the Kohen Mashiach, where you need two factors, the helam dover and the shigas ma'ase, to make him chayav the korban. Loy kol shekein, you would think how much more so that once he left office, he should not bring the same korban. Therefore, tamad leimer v'hikar v'achatase. No, therefore the pasuk says regardless, he brings his korban for his avera malamet shemeshe shemaybe achatase mishal. So that's it. Okay, so the question is, if we're going to use a kavachomer like that, then why don't we use the kavachomer the other way around? The naisi nami nasi the kavachomer. In that case, then we should be able to use the kavachomer to learn that the nasi will bring it even after he left office. Uma Mashiach shein meiv
the
shigah.
We should learn from the Kohen to the Nasi.
That's good. Yeah. Uma Mashiach shein meiv the shigah smaiseh. Madach the Kohen Mashiach, who does not bring based only on shigah smaiseh, he needs helam dover as well. Maybe chatas mishaover, and he still brings his same chatas after he left his position. Nasi she maybe chatas b'shigah smaiseh. So Nasi, where you only need shigah smaiseh, ain't it din she maybe chatas mishaover? Wouldn't you think, therefore, shouldn't it be a kavachomer that he should bring his chatas even after he was fired? Therefore, and we see in the mission that it's not like that. The answer is no. Talmud Lomar, Asher Nasi Yachta. No, because with him, the Pasuk introduces it that the Nasi sins, implying Shu Nasi ain't Shu Hadiyat Loi. Only if he committed the sin while he was the Nasi, not once he's a Hadiyat, not once he's a Kamar. As opposed to by the Kohen Mashiach. It just says he's not Kohen Mashiach. And once he's Mashiach, then that's it. He's Mashiach for the rest of his life. He was anointed, and that's it. The anointing can't be undone. As opposed to Nasi is...
Can be undone.
Right now, he's not a Nasi. In other words, the difference...
also anointed sometimes.
No, but sometimes he can be, but that's not the point. The point is that you could say the difference is, in other words, that Mashiach is an adjective. He was anointed. Once he's anointed, that's it. The adjective still remains with him. The fact is he was anointed. Nasi is not really an adjective. It's a noun. The king. So if he's not right now a noun, the king, then it's a different thing. That's the difference. Okay. Mishnah continues. Chotu ad shalonis manu. What happens the other way around? So far we had two of the possible cases. One is where they committed the Aveda while they were in office and then left office. The other is they committed it after they left office. What about they committed it before? Chotu ad shalonis manu. So if they did the Aveda before they were appointed, v'achakach nismanu, and then the Kohen Gadol or the king were appointed, respectively. Just then they're like a head, yet they bring the regular korban that an individual commoner would bring, a sorer, a kisba. Not so often, not so. Because Reb Shimon Omer, Reb Shimon says it doesn't depend when they committed the chatos, it depends when they found out about it. If they found out their mistake before they were appointed, then they are chayav the korban of a yachid. The Nodelahem omission is manu, but if they only found out about it after they were appointed Peturim, then they're potter from a korban altogether. Because as we'll see in the Gemara, he says that not only the chef but also the yidia has to be while he has the same status.
The
halacha, no, the halacha is not like him.
Reb Shimon's chet and the yediyah, which means, by the way,
Reb Shimon's, as Rashi says, Reb Shimon therefore will also argue with the previous Mishnah. When we said that after the Kohen Gadol or the Nasi leave office, they'll still, if they committed the chet while they were in office, so they'll still bring the same korban, Reb Shimon will say, depends whether they had the yediyah when they were in office too, right? Okay. A zehu nasi continues the Mishnah. What is the definition of a nasi? Usually, the nasi means the nasi of a shevet or something. What does it mean for our purposes? Zem melech, it means the king. Shenemar mikol mitzvot Hashem alikav, because the pasuk says that he violated one of the mitzvot of Hashem, his God. And the expression Hashem alikav implies she'ein al gabav ela Hashem alikav. There is no one higher than him among the Jewish people other than Hashem. So he has to be the king of necessity.
There's no one higher than him
in the hierarchy of the Jewish people. There can be. Now, we'll see in the Gemara eventually. He can still be subservient to Goyish kings. That doesn't matter. As long as he's the highest authority, as long as he's the highest political authority within the Jewish people, then he's the Nazi.
And
the
Kohen Gadol
or something else. He's still subservient. Sure he does. He's still subservient to the king in certain ways. We learned at Sanhedrin that if the king needs aid was given on his behalf, the Kohen Gadol is obligated to come and testify. You have when they meet, I think the Kohen Gadol has to stand up in honor of the king. I don't remember that, but whatever. The point is that the Kohen Gadol is still subservient to the king in certain ways. Yeah. They point out, by the way, I think Malvin points out that in general we don't find the name Hashem attached to an individual. We find Hashem Eloteichem of the Jewish people collectively or whatever. We don't usually find Hashem Eloteichem that Hashem is associated individually with one person. Well, we see it in this pasuk over here, but therefore, for that's what makes it possible to give us the drasha that it means she'ein al gabav ela Hashem alikav. So later on, the Gemara will deal with more of the details of that, but for now, we're going to deal with the first part of the Mishnah. Menani mili, where do we know this from? This that we said in the Mishnah, that if they committed the Aveda before they were appointed, then they're like a hediyah, and it doesn't matter about Yediyah. And then where does Reb Shimon say differently? the Tana Rabbanon, like this, the Braisa says, the Pasuk starts off, "Im HaKohen HaMashiach Yasa," if the Kohen HaMashiach sins, implying that he committed the sin when he was already Mashiach, when he was already anointed, La'ashmas, Prat L'Kodmos, that comes to exclude Averis that he did before he was ever appointed. For those, he's like a Hedyot. For those, he brings a female sheep or a female goat. And the reason you need this Pasuk, Yasa, Sheyachov Aledinu, because you would think to make a, you would think, to make a kavachomer as follows, or to make a limud as follows. Valodinu, shouldn't you think like this? Uman nasi shemeiv v'shigas ma'aseh. Again, look at the nasi who brings a korban based only on shigas ma'aseh, because again, he doesn't need hora. Ein maybe ala kodmos. No. So the question is, why do you need the pasuk? You should be able to learn it logically from a kavachomer. Madach the king, who only needs shigas ma'aseh, and still he does not bring his special korban for anything that he committed before he was appointed king. Mashiach Shein maybe Elal Halam Davar B'Shigas Ma'ase. So the Kohen Mashiach, we need two factors. There's less cases. There's fewer cases where he brings his special korban b'chlal, because you need two factors rather than one, right? Ein Adin Shalo Yavi Ala Kodmos. Shouldn't it be a kavachomer that he won't bring for Kodmos? So why does the pasuk need to mention the word Im HaKohen Mashiach Yasa to tell us that not?
I mean, anything before he was appointed.
What? Kodmos means anything before he was appointed. So the word Yechta is in future tense. In other words, that he will sin after he's appointed Kohen Mashiach.
Right.
So why do we, if we could learn it from a Kavah Chomer? Why do we need the why do we need the pasuk? So the answer is loy. No, because you can't use that Kavah Chomer. You could slug it up. Im amarta benasi shaken en maybe chatos mishavar. You could say about a nasi because, as we said in the previous Mishnah, once he's fired, he also doesn't bring his korban. Again, we said before that if he commits the Aveda after he was deposed, then he doesn't bring the korban anymore. So therefore, he's different. How could you compare that to the Kohen Mashiach, who still retains his status and still brings a special korban after he was fired? So you would argue, maybe given that you see that his status extends labba, that it extends past his term in office, the Kohen Mashiach, it extends past his term in office, Yavi ala Kodmos, maybe it should also precede his term in office, and therefore you should have to bring for the Kodmos as well. Therefore, in order to tell us that not, Talmud Lai Mashiach Yechta. So therefore, we deduced from it, therefore, so the bottom line, Chotek Shu Mashiach may be Shu Hedyot, maybe. So only if he committed the Avera while he was Kohen Mashiach, only then does he bring the korban, the par. True Hedyot, ain't it maybe? If he did it as a Hedyot, he does not bring that korban, he brings a regular
pasuk. That's the chiddush.
That's why we need the pasuk. But Tanya Namikavi Nosi Kayam. Now we have another braisa that goes through the same argument as far as the Nosi. To prove the same point, that if the Nasi committed one of these Averas before he became Nasi, before he became king, that he won't bring his sorrow, that he'll bring a regular commoner.
Which type of virus are we talking about?
As we said in the previous paragraph,
how can you become a Nasi after he did all these three Averas?
First of all, it's not all these three. No, you're thinking, it's not one of these three. You're thinking of Korban or the Yuri. No, remember, you have, okay, let's review. The first Mishnah in the Sefer Kriya says there are 36 Averis in the Torah for which a person gets karas, if he doesn't have made it. Out of those 36, so there's a few of them that you don't bring a chatas for, some because there are mitzvot atzei, Pesach and Milah are mitzvot atzei, you don't bring a chatas for not doing them. A couple of others don't involve Maisa. Megadeth is one of them, there's one or two others. You have karas. The person who does Megadeth gets karas, but there's no chatas. Yeah, it's not necessarily a disqualifying fact. Again, keep in mind, here we're talking, he did it for Shogeg. He ate Chayla for Shogeg, he did Arayat for Shogeg, he broke Shabbat for Shogeg, whatever. That doesn't in and of itself disqualify him from being numb. If he did it for Mazin, maybe it would, I don't know. It always had to be. I mean, it was after all, you know.
The application has to be, if we're saying... But sure,
no, I don't know that that necessarily means anything. I mean, unfortunately, you had Malchi Yisrael and Malchi Yehuda who were Rishoyim, and obviously they ended up becoming king anyway, so it all depends. I mean, you know, the Sanhedrin is supposed to ratify, the Sanhedrin and the people are supposed to control things and ratify him as king, but if they're not stepping up to the plate, if they're not doing their job, then yeah, you could have that. Anyway, but here we're talking with Rishoyim. Rishoyim, there's no particular reason it should be a disqualifying factor. Okay. So it's not nami gami nasi kai gavda. You have a similar concept when it comes to a nasi. The braisa starts off, asher nasi yechda, prapa kodmus. Again, it says that the nasi will sin, again in future tense, implying that he will sin after he becomes a nasi. Prapa kodmus, as to exclude the ones that, to exclude the ones that he did before. And again, sheyachov alo dinu. Now why should he need that positive? Shouldn't she be able to make a kavah kodmur? Uma mashiach shemevi chatot nisha'ar. Ma doch the kohen mashiach, who does bring his chatos after he was fired, ain't it maybe ala koimus, he still does not bring for anything that happened before he became koim gadol. Nasi shein maybe chatos misha'avar, so the nasi who doesn't even bring it after he was deposed, ain't a din shalo yavi ala koimus, how much more so he doesn't bring this korban for the koimus. Why do you need the word yes?
He doesn't get in the future,
there's no reason to think he gets it in the past. Yeah. You could slug up the Kavachayim. Malo Mashiach, Shekain, Ein, Mevi, B'Shig, Gas, Naise. Yes, but on the other hand, the Mashiach has fewer cases where he brings it in the first place, because he doesn't bring it in the case of Shig, Gas, Naise. He needs Helam, Dover. He needs a mistake in Hodra as well. And therefore, maybe you could say there's fewer cases where he would bring it. Toma Benasi Shemeva Beshigas Maisa. How can you compare that? The Nasi only needs Shigas Maisa. So there's more cases where a Nasi will bring his Korban than there is that... The Nasi doesn't need Helam Gadol. All he needs is Shigas Maisa. Right. So for the Kohen Gadol to do Helam Gadol and Shigas Maisa would be a very rare thing. For the Nasi to have Helam Gadol, to just have Shigas Maisa. Okay, he forgot the Chayli. Was also, he didn't know that this Malacha is also on Shabbos, etc. It happens. So Hoyle made the Shigas Maisa. Since you see that the Nasi has more cases where he brings it, namely he only needs Shigas Maisa, Yavi Ala Kohenmas, you would think maybe he should also be bringing his special korban, his star, also for things that happened before he became king. Therefore, we need the positive. Talmud Loimah, Asher Nasi Yechta, Shachata, Barehu Nasi, Veloi Shachata, Vajayu Hedyat. Meaning that Yechta teaches us that only if he sins after he becomes Nasi, not if he did it before he became Nasi. Then he would just bring a regular person's korban.
Right. And that's all about Shigas Nasi, basically.
For the Nasi, it's only Shigas Nasi, for the Mashiach. Helam Dover on Shigas Nasi. Okay.
So we cannot...
So that's it. No, so we have concluded. We've concluded exactly what we said in our Mishnah. Leaving aside Rav Shimon, what Rav Shimon says about this, the Gemara will take up, what Rav Shimon is saying about this, the Gemara is going to take up later. First we're going to have a long piece of Agadah. But, basically what it is Rashi says that the Gemara doesn't really elaborate much on it, but Rashi says that what it is Rav Shimon holds it's not just enough when the Maisa happened, it's also important when the Yediyah happened. Therefore, if the Yediyah happened at a different time, then nothing new.
The Gemara doesn't
really address it much, because I guess it's fairly obvious. We did have the discussion earlier in the Masechta, on Daf Gimel, the question of whether, whether the same thing applies to the tzibur. If you had that a miyot to the tzibur followed the beis din, and then later on that miyot ended up becoming the roiv, would we have the same argument between Reb Shimon and the Rabbanon or not? Yeah.
And we would.
So the Gemara asked the question over there. I don't think it concluded. Didn't really conclude one way or the other. Okay. The Gemara mentioned an intim saloima over there. Okay. The answer was, we said Rav Shimon Chetta V'Yediyah Boi, that Rav Shimon, Rav Shimon is going to say the same thing. You do need Chetta and Yediyah, therefore you're going to hold the same thing. Okay, fine. Tananaban, Asher Nasi Yechda, the Pasuk starts off, the Pasuk introduces the case where the king does an Avera and has to bring his korban. It introduces it with Asher Nasi Yechda, that the Nasi sins. So Yochel Gzera, you would think the way the Pasuk is phrasing it, it means a gzera. It's a gzera from Hashem that a Nasi will inevitably commit an Avera. Otherwise, why doesn't it introduce it with Im Nasi Yechda, if the Nasi did? Talmud Lomar, Im HaKohen HaMashiach Yechda. No, therefore, by the Kohen Gadol, it uses the expression Im, that if he will sin.
So wait.
Ma Lahalan Lichshe Yechda, Ach Kan Lichshe Yechda. So no, the Pasuk is not telling us that necessarily he will. The word yechta, which we have by both of them, teaches us, it's kind of like a gzera shava, that it doesn't mean, just like by the Kohen Gadol, yechta doesn't mean that inevitably he will sin. It means if he sins, then he does such and such. The same thing with the king, it says that the same thing with the king, it also means if he sins. The reason why it says asher, we'll deal with later. But
so if that's the case, why do we say it only for the Kohen Gadol? Im yechta.
Because once it says it by him, then we're meant to understand that it applies it to, that it applies to the king as well. We'll see later on. The Gemara
says the opposite. No. If it says for the Kohen Gadol, it should say also for the king.
No, it doesn't have to, because we'll see. Well, because we'll see on our days. There's a reason why the Pasuk wrote it with the word Asher. There's a special drash that we learned. Rashi mentions on the Pasuk actually, but we'll get there on our days. Okay. So Omamar, let's look at the Braisa. Yochok Zera. The question is Zera Mehechitesi. Where do you get the idea? Where do you ever find that that Hashem should make such a Zera that a person is going to do an Avera? What happened to Bechira Chofshis? Also, the toast with the Rosh also brings also brings that the question may be, is it normal for the Pasuk to be giving us news in advance that bad things are going to happen? Like, as if the Pasuk is like telling us, I want to inform you festively. You should know it's going to happen. A person is going to do an Aveira. So what kind of thing is that?
It goes against the
Besides that it goes against the Chiruch Chofshis, the question is also, fine, if the Pasuk has to say that, it's going to happen, but why does it say it in such a tone as if like it's something good, something wonderful is going to happen? Amri, so they answer, Ein, Ashkechon, yes, we find such a thing where the Pasuk tells us in advance that something not so good is going to happen. The Pasuk says in Parshas Nesorah, Hashem says, I will place a plague of Tzaraas in the houses of your inheritance in Eretz Yisrael. In other words, there will be such a thing as Tzaraas of houses. And it means the Soda, Yilahem, but it's not. Vinasati implies there's no condition here. The Vinasati, it's not
even. How can Hashem do it just for the sake of doing it?
Hold on. The Soda, Yilahem, Shana Goyim, Baril Malayim, Divir of Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that means the Pasuk is telling us good news. Doesn't have to be good news. The Torah is telling us you should know in advance there is going to be cases of Torah. Even though it's a negative thing, the Pasuk still says it not even as a conditional thing, but rather as an absolute thing, as a certitude, or according to the Tosfos Rosh's thing, it's saying that it's saying effectively that I'm presenting it as good news, even though it's not necessarily so good on the face of it. Divrei of Yehuda, that's what Rabbi Yehuda says. Now, by the way, when it comes to Tzaraas and houses, we know the famous thing, and the Tosfos Rosh points out, we have the famous thing that the Kananim hid treasures in the walls of their houses. Rashi brings it on the Pasuk, and therefore the good news is that you're going to end up tearing down the houses and find the treasures. Nevertheless, though, it's still, on the surface, it's still not such a good thing. The fact that the person has to go through all of this, where they after 3 weeks, they're not sure what's going to happen to their house, and then it gets torn down, and finally they find the treasure or whatever. That may also be. Yeah. It may depend. I mean, that's what the Poroshim say. They talk about it depends whether they really depends on the level of the owner of the house. If he's on a level where he doesn't need Tzaraas and houses in the first place, then Hashem will help. It'll find the treasure some other way. He'll be renovating his house to stand and find it or whatever. On the other hand, if he's such a rasha that he doesn't deserve to have the treasure, then the whole house will be torn down and he still won't find the treasure. So yeah. So the point is that we see that the Pasuk sometimes will do that. The Pasuk will present future bad events as a certainty. So you could have argued the same thing is true as far as the Nasi. And the only reason we know that not is because he's like the Kohen Mashiach in that sense. It is conditional after all. Okay. So that's the Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon, I'm a prasa nigga oinsi. So Rabbi Shimon says the words Vanasati nega tzaraas come to teach us not that it's absurd or not that the Pasuk is predicting for us in advance that it definitely will happen. Rather, the Pasuk is telling us that negoyim that are an oinis are not counted. Those are not matami the house. Or not the house per se, actually. Here with Nigoy Oinsin, we're gonna say soon, it's talking about Nigoyim on people. We're gonna say soon. The Gemara is gonna mention the means that were accomplished by Kishuk or by Shadim or whatever. Those are not true Sarah. Those are not matami. So Lav Amar of Yehuda Basura. So don't we see that Rabbi Yehuda says over there that Vinasati Nega Saras, where it's said as a certainty rather than as a conditional, is a Basura. It's telling us in advance the news that this is going to happen. Okanami Aim Exeri, the same way by the king. You could have thought Asher Nasi Yasa means it's an unconditional thing. He will do an Avera. So Kokhtiv Im, therefore by the Kohen Gadol, it says Im, and we deduce that same thing applies to the king also. You have the Balei Amuser and others talk about the idea that after all, another reason the Pasuk phrases it that way is because a king is so powerful, it's not totally inevitable. He has the Chiruch Chofshis, but it's much more likely with him, obviously not, but it's much more likely with him that he's going to slip up than it is with, even Chizkiyahu slipped up in something. The other three things that the Chachamim didn't agree with him. What was it? That he made an Ibur Yoram Lamed, he declared an Ibur Yoram Lamed Adar, and that he he took off the gold from the doors of the Heifel and sent it as a bribe to the king of Asher, and he stopped up the Gichon spring so the Asherim wouldn't get the water.
He could stop the spring.
No, you don't stop up a spring. What he did is he diverted it. You've heard of the famous Klipkiyot tunnel in the lower city of Yerushalayim. That was basically, he built that in order to divert the water. Like this, in fact, this, you can close up. They talk about, because you're not supposed to interfere with the water, in particular the spring over there, the Gichon spring, strongly represents Malchus Beis David. We're going to talk later on Daf Yud-Bey, that Malchus Yehuda were always anointed next day, so therefore to tamper with it is not is a big deal, yeah. Anyway, the point is that you have, there were things that the Chachamim didn't agree with him. So, obviously he didn't commit the Aveda that he would bring a certain not before necessarily, but still, yeah.
Not
100%. Right. Okay, but anyway, so I was saying that you have some people talk about the idea Hashem Nasi Yechem. It's not totally inevitable, of course, now that he's conscious, but the odds are against him. Yeah, exactly. Okay. Fine. Okay, so the question is, O Rav Shimon, Nigei Onsin, Mi Loi Metamu. You're telling me Rav Shimon just said in this braise over here that Nigei Onsin, the goyim that were brought about by Onus, such as, again, we're going to say later by Kishuv, for example, you're telling me those are not Metame. V'hatanya, but we learn in another braise, when the pasuk, we're analyzing the pasuk that begins the dinim of Parah, the next week's parasha, Adam Kiyia, the pasuk starts off by saying a person, if there will be in his skin, Parah, the will be again implies minat dibur ve'elach, means it only applies to negoyim from now on, from when the mitzvah is given and onward. In other words, if a person has Parah before that, he's not Tameh, even though now he still has that same spot of Parah after the mitzvah was given. Again, you would think, why do you need the pasuk? You have a kavachaymer, v'aladinu, can't you make a kavachaymer? Time b'zav, time b'negoyim. We know that a zav is tamei. We know that negoyim are tamei. Ma zav min adibur ve'elach. Just like by a zav, it's true only if he becomes a zav from when the mitzvah was given at all. Again, because by him it also says yia, ki yia zav b'tzara, right? Shouldn't you think also Negoyim would be Minadibu Ve'elach only once the mitzvah is given? Why does it need to say Yiyah by Negoyim as well? We should have been able to learn it by Binyan Av from Zav. The answer is Loi. No. So it's redundant. The answer is Loi. No, you can't use that Binyan Av. In Mamarta B'Zav, you could say that applies to a Zav. Shekain Ein Metamei Ba'Onus. Because in general, you have a Zav, there's fewer cases where a Zav will become Tami. Zibus does not apply if it happens Ba'Onus. For example, so what it is with a zav, you have as follows: the first time a person has an issue of zivus, it makes him like a bal keri.
Right.
Zivus is somewhat different than regular shechlat zera. It's a different color, it's a different consistency. It doesn't come with an erection, etc. But whatever it is, the point is it's
discharge.
It's not bloody. Bloody is by woman. It's off-white. No, it's similar to shechlat zera, but instead of being white, it's off-white. Instead of being of a thicker consistency, of a thinner consistency, and it comes out without any arousal.
Is it a disease or it's not?
It's some kind of disease, that the miscavus, the halala goof, some kind of thing collects in a cavity of the body. Some people think it might be gonorrhea, but it's hard to say. It doesn't really seem to fit the description, right? So I've seen different other people who have different ideas what it could be exactly. Whatever, I don't know if it's specifically identifiable as anything in modern medicine. Whatever it is, the point is, the first time he has it, he's just no different than a balkari. If that's all that happens, he goes to the mikveh, and that evening he's tar. If it happens a second time, then he becomes a zog, his matame mishkav Moshe, and then the heset, and 7 days, etc. If it happens a third time, in addition, he needs to bring a korban. The thing is...
The same period of time, for the third time.
Right.
Seven days.
No. Well, right. The seven clean days is going to need you regardless, after the second or after the third time. When it comes to the second time, there are factors that we have to look at to see if those were the cause of the ziva. So we look at, for example, did he overeat or overdrink? Did he lift heavy weights? Was he aroused by watching animals mating, or by thinking about, or by thinking hearer of nus or whatever? You know, you have seven different factors you have to check out. If any of those happen, then he's not. Then that second time does not make him a zav. Then again, he's just like a bal keri. So we see that a zav does
if
not.
There are no factors,
if there are none of those factors, that's when he's a zav, right? So therefore, so we see that a zav will not become tamid ba'oinus if it happens because of some external factor like that.
Right. That's what he means.
It has to be completely, what's the medical term? Idiopathic. It's aloha, it's a mishnah, it's a gemara, yeah. It has to be completely idiopathic. It has that it comes completely just spontaneously without any external factors. Okay. So, okay, Toma ben Negroyim Shema Kamen Ba'onis continues with Shimon then and the Gaita, so how could you compare it to Negroyim, where you would become Tomei even Ba'onis, regardless of the cause of the Nega, you're still Tomei. Therefore, Tamad Loma, Adam Ki Yir, Minat Dibur Ba'elah. Therefore, the Pasuk had to spell out Adam Ki Yir to say that by Negroyim also it only applies to any Nega, any Sarah, that a person got Minat Dibur Ba'elah after the Mitzvah. Otherwise, you would have thought it's different than Zohar. Right? So the point is, we see in this Gaita that Shimon is specifically saying that Negroyim are Matamad Ba'onis. What are you telling me that based on the words "venasati nega farah" means that only if I put the nega implying, but if it's caused from some other external factor, then you're not tamei? Rav Shimon is contradicting himself. So the answer is Rava Amar Prapan Liga Ruchas. You're right. Rava says it doesn't mean that Rav Shimon is excluding all external factors when it comes to negoim.
Over there, he says what?
In one place again, he says that negoim are not matame ba'onis. In the second braisa, he says that it is matame ba'onis. What it is Rav Shimon would make a distinction what the onus was. For example, now you can have an onus, for example, somebody hit him, somebody burnt him or whatever, and then it developed into Torah. Those Rav Shimon would say are Tomei. The type that he's saying are not Tomei, the onus that he says is not Matame, is a Prapa Nigei Ruchas, as opposed to if it was caused by a Ruach, by a Shed attacking him. That Rav Shimon would say is not the kind of
Matame.
I don't know. If you lived in those days, you were familiar with Shedim, you'd know whether it was done by a Shed. I don't know. Rapapa, I'm a prop and nigger kshofim. Rapapa says it comes to exclude negoim that were caused by witchcraft. Same thing. Rav Shimon would say that those are not metamic. The ones that were caused by natural processes, even though they're a type of onus, those Rav Shimon would say are metamic. That's the second brayta. The kind that happens through supernatural things, other than Hashem directly putting it as a name is kishu for shadim, those not. So that's how we reconcile Rav Shimon.
So there's no contradiction.
Okay. Turn it up. Asher Nasi Yach. So we learn in a Braisa when the Pasuk starts off that the Nasi sins, implying Prat L'Choyla, implying as opposed to if he's sick. So then he doesn't bring that Torah. So the question is why? Shem Dehavah L'Choyla is Chilei Minas Yil. So what does that mean? Because he's sick, therefore he loses his position as king. Just because he got sick. I mean, people got sick all the time. Doesn't mean immediately.
How long he gets sick?
You have, for example, in the Sukkim over there, describes how King Asa, for example, was sick. He had a foot disease, and he had foot disease, gout, and he remained king. He had Chizkiyahu, who was deathly ill, and he was still king. Sometimes skin disease or whatever, but the point is that you had kings who were sick and still remained king. You're right, doesn't this mean any sickness? It means specifically a king who gets sarah. He is deposed from his kingship. And we know this, Shinem. You have a passage that mentioned by Uziyahu. King Uziyahu, you have a famous thing where he went into the Heichal to try and drink Todas. He mistakenly thought that a king is allowed to drink Todas. First of all, he figured that, okay, a king has special... Of course, we know that. But he figured, okay, so I'll tell you, actually, it's an interesting thing since you asked him. In Divrei HaYomim, it tells us a little bit about Uziyahu. It tells us how he was a tremendous inventor. He invented new types of weapons and all kinds of things. And he loved farming. He oheb adama haya. So the Medrash says that means his priorities were a little bit skewed. He was too much into his farming and not enough into his learning. So what happens? He starts looking at the Pesukim one time during laning or whatever. He starts looking at the Pesukim. He sees, he finds, or not there, a Pesukim Nach or whatever, that describes, it says that B'nai David Koyanim, or it says that David's sons were Koyanim. Now, not Koyanim in the real sense, right? It means that they were ministers or whatever. He took it in the literal sense. So therefore, he figured, okay, that means kings can be Koyanim, so I can bring Torah. So he goes into the Heichal trying to bring Torah. And the Kohen Gadol and a bunch of other Kohenim come to confront him and tell him, you don't know what you're doing, you're not supposed to be here, get out of here. Akitzer, all of a sudden, Sarah breaks out on his forehead. And he realized, okay, I better get out of here, I'm not allowed to be here anyway, when I have Sarah, and he left. And the Pasuk says, he was never cured. By Naga Hashem HaSam Melech, the Pasuk says that Hashem struck him with Sarah, by him a third ad yomasi, he remained a third until the end of his life, till he died. By Yeshiv Beit HaChofshis, he lived in the Beit HaChofshis. Now Beit HaChofshis means Chofshis in the Russian Chofshi, which means free. So therefore, Beit HaChofshis means a house in which he's free from the responsibilities of kingship. So therefore, in other words, he was deposed. So he no longer has the status of a king. That's where we learn him from. And the pasuk continues, but Yosam ben Amalek halaboyis, and Yosam, the son of the king, was...
They can be sick, but they cannot have tzaraas.
Right. Once they have tzaraas, and therefore they have to stay outside there. They have to stay outside the city. So yes. So then they're in Beit HaChavshit. Then they're deposed from the kingship. And Yosam, the son of the king, Alaboyus was in charge of the house. He ran things for the next few years until Uzziah passed away.
And then
Uzziah passed away, and Yosam became king.
He was the son of Uzziah.
And actually, he's brought as an example of tremendous kibbutz av in that all those years, and it was a long time, I think it was 25 years, I think, from when Yo got tzaraas until he passed away. During all that time, Yosam always thought of himself as the regent, never as the king. He could have had the right to, Yo was no longer considered the king, but out of respect for his father,
king during that time.
So effectively, there was an interregnum, effectively, there was no king. Yosam is a sheir alabayis, he's in charge of the house, he's the regent. But the Uzziah is nominally still the king. What we're saying over here, he's not considered a king.
How did they go to war? How did they protect?
I don't know if they did. I don't know. Maybe. Okay, so then you still have. Okay, so whoever's in charge then has to decide. That's okay. I don't know. Right.
And then he became king. Though.
And then, Okay. Okay. Since the pasuk says that Uzziah was in the house of freedom, that implies that up until this point, he wasn't free. He was like a servant.
Being
king is like a servant. And we see this, kiha, as we see in the following story. One time, Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua were traveling on a ship. Bahadi did Rabbi Gamliel have a pizza. Rabbi Gamliel had along with him bread for the trip. Rabbi Yeshua have a pizza of a salsa. Rabbi Yeshua had not only bread, he also had flour, which eventually...
So that's
The point is, Rashi says flour keeps much longer than bread. Bread spoils after a while. Flour you can keep longer. So in other words, it amounts to saying that Rabbi Yeshua realized they're going to be on the trip longer than expected. Eventually, Shlim pitted Rabbi Gamliel. Eventually, Rabbi Gamliel used up all his bread. Samach assaulted Rabbi Yeshua, and he had to rely on Rabbi Yeshua's flour because otherwise they have none to eat. Amalei, Sir Rabbi Gamliel says to Rabbi Yeshua, "Me have a yadat to have it on the kuba kuba high. Did you know, and how could you have known in advance that we're going to have such a delay to Isis Sulta that you brought along flour?"
He only brought flour?
No, he brought bread and flour. That's what I'm saying. So he brought bread, and when he used up his bread, he started using his flour. So the Rabbi Gamliel asked him, "How'd you know? Like this, we thought we were going to be on the ship for a couple of weeks. So therefore, I brought bread. Apparently, you knew in advance that we're going to be here longer. Therefore, you brought extra provisions. How did you know?" Amalei, so Rabbi Yeshua answers him, Koichav Echav L'Shivim Shana Oila U'Maseh Tatafonim. Every 70 years, there's a certain star that rises and confuses the sailors, because like they think, for example, if the Rashi says, suppose you have the star, sometimes it appears in the north, sometimes the south, so like this, it confuses them. They're used to navigating by the stars, and therefore, so this one comes, yeah, some people think this might be Halley's Comet, which is approximately 170 years. It might come up and it might confuse us and the sailors won't know where they're going. Therefore, I brought along extra provision.
Where was that?
The Mediterranean? Well, the Mediterranean. It was even faster, yeah. So, yeah, again, you have some people who think maybe it was Halley's Comet, but I don't know, because... Exactly. A comet is not necessarily a kohav. It wouldn't necessarily look like one of the stars. Could be. It's an interesting idea, but a lot back there. Anyway, Amalei, said Rabbi Yisrael, says to Rabbi Yeshua, Kol kach yodcha, you have so much knowledge, that you have so much chachma that you have, and you have to go on a ship to go and find Parnassa. How could it be?
That's why they were on the ship.
Well, Rabbi Gamliel may not have been. Rabbi Gamliel was rich. He may have been going on the ship to go to Rome to intercede on behalf of the Jewish people. He was a Nazi, after all. Rabbi Yeshua apparently was on there for Parnassa. He was traveling for Parnassa, yeah. Now, how could it be? Some of them approach him asked, because Marsha asked, and then I'll tell you soon what Marsha explains. This is this whole Gemara symbolically, but anyway, a number of them approach him asked. We know that there are smart people who don't have very much to eat. You have Pesukim in Kehillah that says, Lo lachachamim lechem. So the point is, why is Rabbi Gamliel saying, how could it be you're so smart and you have to go travel for Parnassa? Unfortunately, that's what it is. Sometimes people are smart and they have to travel for Parnassa.
He thought that maybe some people are smart, but he was particularly...
No, but even so. So a different explanation is that Tosfos HaRosh says what it is that So you realize, in other words, that how dangerous it is to travel on a ship, and you know that it could even happen that the sailor would get confused and the trip takes longer than usual. Why would you even risking yourself to go on this trip in the first place?
That's something else. That's according to that, according to the Torah. That's the question that we're learning on the old guy. Yeah. Armor. We learned Gemara. Yeah. And we had, put it off the record, we had Shmuel Isaac. Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Shmuel Isaac. Yeah. And Shmuel Isaac was asking a question on Gemara. Remember, Rabbi Gurai was very sharp.
Yeah.
He said, he said, you said, I see that even though you're so rich, you don't understand about the Gemara.
I don't know. Solomon himself as well to do also. Okay. All right. Anyway. Okay. So he says that it's not as good as to understand the Gemara because it's so much money. We'll see. I'm on base. We'll see something about that actually. Omalei, so Rabbi Yeshua answers, Ad shatza tmei alai, as long as, forget about wondering about me. Better you should be wondering about two Talmidim that you have back on dry land in Eretz Yisrael, namely Rabbi Elazar Chisma and Rabbi Yechonim in Gurgudah. They're so smart, they know how to be able to estimate how many drops of water there are in the ocean. Rabbi Yeshua is saying, you're wondering how it is I'm so wise, and then and yet I'm having to go travel around for my panasa, or I'm risking myself going on a ship in the first place. Better you should be asking about your own Talmidim, Rabbi Elazar Chisma and Rabbi Yechonim and Gurgudah. They're so smart, they know how to calculate how many drops of water there are in the ocean. The inland path, and yet they don't have bread to eat or clothes to wear. So you see that just because a person is wise, just because a person is smart, doesn't mean that he is
being proportional.
Well, also, but again, it also means that you're thinking, why? How didn't I know? How didn't I realize that that it's risky to go on the ship? But look at these guys that they don't have an idea how to even make panosa for themselves.
And besides, you didn't know the Torah makes you weaker and poorer.
Not necessarily poor. No, you have rich someone to come again. Maybe you're an example. No, not necessarily. No. Yeah. We'll see on the base. Okay. So then Ramil decided, in that case, what we should do is we should appoint them to a position of leadership in the yeshiva, and that way they'll be able to get panosa that way. Either some of them approach and learn that it means that they'll be paid a salary. Some of them approach and explain that no, you're not supposed to receive a salary for teaching Torah.
But therefore,
they understand that what it'll be is, no, practically speaking, once they have a position, people will bring them gifts. We learned before that the Kohen Gadol, Gadleo Mishal Achav, it'll be similar over here. So eventually, you know, it'll, and you have, for example, in Chulin it mentioned that people would bring, for example, the Zroi Lachayai and the Keva preferentially to some of the Chachamim and other things like that. So this way they'd be able to make enemies.
It's more honorable.
Yeah. Okay. So when Amiel came off the ship back into Eretz Yisrael, Shalach Lehem, he sent for Rabbi Elazar Chisma and Rabbi Yechonim and Gurgudah, Vloibo, and they didn't come. Chaz of a Shalach, then he sent another message, Obo, and this time they came. Because the first, in other words, he sent them a message, I want to appoint you to a position of leadership, and they turned it down. Then he sent them again, and this time they came, because Amal Lehem says to them, you think I'm trying to offer you a position of dignity, and then therefore you want to stay away from it because you don't want to be appointed to high office. You don't want the honor. After Sunny Noisim Lachem, this is the point why we're bringing it in. What I'm actually offering you is slavery, is servitude. Because being in a position of power is an avodah. That's the point. That's where we're bringing it. Because you have much more responsibilities now. Shenemah, as we find the pasuk by Rechavam, where his advisors tell him when the Jewish people are asking him to make things easier, by Dabru Elav Lamer, so his older advisors say to him, Im hayom ki eved l'amah there, today you will act as a servant to this people and speak nicely to them, and they'll follow you. So we see that a king is a servant. So that's what he said. That Uzi Yahu, once he was no longer king, once he had Sarat, then he was Beisa Chavshik, he's in the house of freedom. Because now he's free from his responsibilities. Yeah. Okay, so what's going on in this? So you have, besides the simple meaning of the story, Marshall says there's more to the story than that. First of all, we have to ask the question again, what's Rabbi Gamliel so surprised that just because Rabbi Yeshua is so wise that he doesn't have enough to live on, that he has to travel, etc. Also, what does Rabbi Yeshua say? Maybe the star was going to appear. If he knows that the star appears once every 70 years, then it's going to appear. What kind of maybe? So Maharshal explains the whole thing symbolically.
He said that
I know that there's a star that comes up once every 70 years. Maybe it was going to come up now. Shema Yalav Yaakov.
No.
Okay, fine.
I know it's going to happen.
Okay, so Maharshal explains differently. Maharshal explains that the whole story is symbolic. He says like this. We learned in Baba Basra that going on a ship is a metaphor for goyim. Now you're tossed around among the waves and then the storms of the goyim.
You never know where you're going.
Exactly. So what happens? Rav Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua are going on board ship, meaning they're in Golos now. This is after the Churban Bayis Sheni, and they're going to have to argue with the goyim on Torah, as happened all the time. We learned in Avodah Zarah where the Chachamim had debates with the Romans. We learned here and there. Yeah. So what happens? Rav Gamliel takes along bread representing Torah. That's what he's going to use to argue against them. Torah is compared also to, it's compared to water, it's also compared to bread, it's compared to many different things.
Right?
Yeah. In Perakei Tanya talks about the idea that Torah is both food for your neshama and a garment for your neshama. So Torah is compared to bread. So Rav Gamliel takes along bread. Rabbi Yeshua, in addition, takes along flour, representing also that he takes along chochmas umas ha'olam. He also takes along his knowledge of the sciences and the other secular knowledge and whatever. It's like flour in the sense you can't eat it by itself, but it's a prerequisite. The same way, these kinds of things are a prerequisite for you can use them to get a fuller understanding of the Torah, just like you can use flour to make bread. So what happens? Rav Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua are going about there debating with the Goyim. Rav Gamliel eventually has to give up. He's not able to make any headway against them with only Torah. Rabbi Yeshua, on the other hand, is able to use the knowledge of the sciences and the arts and whatnot to the Solas. So Rav Gamliel had to depend on him for that. So Rav Gamliel asks him, how'd you know that this was going to happen? And Rabbi Yeshua says, because once every 70 years, which is, in other words, the lifespan of a person, there comes along this star which confuses people. In other words, you have this, in every generation, you have at least one person who's very charismatic and very persuasive and all, and manages to make people think that he has truth, when really what he's saying is against the Torah, and therefore it'll be misleading people. I was afraid there might be somebody like that over here, and therefore I made sure to equip myself at a time with the flower of Chochmas Ketzayim.
But you see that.
So Rav Gamliel continues to him, if you're so wise, what are we doing in the ship in the first place? You, Rabbi Yeshua, are a Talmud of Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai. You're one of the two Talmudim who can't, yes, he's one of the five Talmudim, Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai, and the other. You are one of the two Talmudim who carried Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai out of Yerushalayim. The same story where Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai pretended to be dead, and the two Talmudim are carrying him. Therefore, you were there when Rabbi Yechim and Zakkai met up with Asbathionis. And Asbathionis said, I have to destroy Yerushalayim. It's like a barrel of honey with a snake around it. How do you get rid of the snake without destroying the barrel? If you're so wise, couldn't you have thought of what to tell Asbathionis? As the Gemara says over there, you take tongs and remove the snake. What are you doing on the ship? What are we doing on the ship of Golos in the first place when you could have prevented it? And Rabbi Yeshua answered,
"What did you
mean? Marshall says all this. Marshall, I'm not on the Gemara over here. So Rabbi Yeshua answers, I want to tell you something. Remember that you have two Talmidim, Rabbi Elazar Chisna and Rabbi Yechim ben Gugudah. They were also alive at the time. They were actually behind Rabbi Yechim ben Gugudah was one of the Levim who served in the Beit Mikdash. So they were alive at the time of the Churban also. They are even wiser than I am, and they weren't able to prevent the Churban. They, as we're saying over here, they don't even have clothes to eat, and they don't even have clothes to wear and bread to eat and whatever. So they couldn't prevent the Churban either, even with all their Chochmah. What do you want from me? In other words, ultimately, it's not a matter of Chochmah, it's a matter of the Ratzon of Hashem. As the Gemara says over there about Rabbi Yechim ben Zakkai, he should have logically been able to think of the argument about the tongs also, but Neshe Chachamim Acher, Hashem prevented him from being able to exercise with Chochmah at that point. So in other words, Rabbi Yeshua is telling Rabbi Gamliel, it's not Chochmah, it's not all where it's at. You need also the Hashem to be on your side.
Isn't that, I was about to say, obvious?
But nevertheless, Rabbi Gamliel is asking, but still, why don't you use your Chochmah in a better way?
But
Rav Gamliel was still asking, you should have tried to exercise your Chochmah more. And Rabbi Yeshua explained to him, Chochmah is not the only thing. Chochmah is important, but your Chochmah doesn't count for anything if you don't, if your Chochmah doesn't help for anything if you don't have Siyata Dishmaya. All right, so that's how Maharsha explains it.
One thing, mind you, that is important I see is that sometimes you have to argue the going based on their own sciences and based on their own.
There is that, but on the other hand, you should also realize it's not for everybody to be arguing with the goyim in the first place. We know, for example, that Eber was very against all the interfaith dialogues and that sort of thing. I think he gave special permission to Emmanuel Shachat, all of Ashalom, to do it because he was an expert on these things, but he had the skills. And even, in general, that Eber was not in favor of it. But here, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Gamliel, all of the caliber to be doing it. But yeah, okay. All right, turn it up on. We learn in a Braisa, when the Pasuk says, Asher Nasi Yechto, the Pasuk says, Asher, the Nasi sins, and we talk about it on Amud Aleph, we have, why does it prove that on the face of it, does that mean it's a guarantee that he's going to sin? But no, we're going to douse on the word Asher differently. Amud Rabbi Yechon, Manzakai, it means Asher Meloshen Ashrei. Ashrei Hadur, Shah Nasi Shalai, maybe Korban Asher Gothi. Happy is the generation that the Nasi brings the Korban for his inadvertent Avera.
Why? Because
No, no, no. But in other words, the point is that if the Nasi realizes that level of responsibility, that even he feels bad about an inadvertent Avera and does tshuva for it, how much more so if he does a deliberate Avera? So therefore, the generation is very happy if they have very good one.
It seems to be...
No. If he realizes that even an Avera B'Shoigig, he has to bring a korban for, so it means he knows all the more so that if he were to do an Avera B'Mezid, he would feel bad about it and have to do tshuva. So that's a very good thing for the generation, that they have a leader like that. What?
I can't even know that.
No, it's not a question whether he knows or not, but that he feels the importance and does that. That he doesn't just make excuses. That he doesn't just make excuses and you know, he doesn't just say laws are for the little people or whatever, you know, that he, yeah.
I'm about the law.
Yes. Im Nasi Shaloi may be korban. So like this, people will realize if even the Nasi has to bring a korban, Sarah Hataloima Mahu Hedya. So would you need to say that if you're a Hedya, you have to bring if the king who doesn't feel subservient, even he realizes that he's subservient to Hashem and has to bring a korban, how much more so than the Hedyotis will realize their responsibilities to Hashem? The Mashik Gosi may be korban, and if he's responsible enough to bring and sensitive enough to bring a korban even for his shigaga, would it need to be said that he does that for a deliberate avera? So therefore, a generation like that is very well off if they have a king like that. Okay, so that's the meaning of the word asher. That's why it phrases it in that sense, asher. Master for Rava Breda Rava. Yeah. However, Master for Rava Breda Rava. However, Rava Breda Rava asks on that. If you're telling me we doubt in the word asher in a context like that, Elamayata, what about you? What are you going to do now with a pasuk like the F asher chotim and akodesh shalim, where it says also in Parshas Vayikra that asher he sinned and misappropriated from hektish, he has to pay. Over Yeravim and Nevat, Chtibe Asher Chotav Asher Hechti. By Yeravim it says Asher he sinned and Asher he caused to sin. Hachinami the Asher Adaru. Does it also mean that the generation is happy if there's somebody who commits Me'ila or when there's a Yeravim and Nevat in it? No. The answer is Shani Hach, the Shani Krabadi Bura. Yes, but it's different over here because just given that you have in all the other sections over there, it uses the word Im and all of a sudden here it changes and uses the word Asher. That's the Jerusha. As opposed to it's a Asher Chotim and HaKodesh Yishalem, there's no context over there where it otherwise says Im. And by Yerovim, there's no context where it says Im or anything like that. So the Asher there are not meant to be Darshan, it's just that the wording, it just means that, it means that, or which, or whatever. But here, since it could have said, just like it says, Im HaKodesh HaMashiach, and Im Koladach Yisrael Yishku, and Im Nefesh, and instead of it here it says Asher, not the Yasa, that gives us that yields the Drosha that Rabbi Yechon HaZakai said.
Seems to be meaning more likely that you, yes, you will sin.
No, that's what we asked on Amud Aleph, and we said that no. But the reason why it phrases it differently is to teach us this idea of Asher, as opposed to, again, by Me'ila and by Yerovam, there's no other context over there that we have a reason to doubt in the word Asher. Dorash Rav Nachman Bar Chista. So now Rav Nachman Bar Chista Darshan, since we're talking about a drosha on the word Asher and relating it to the word Ashrei, so here's another one. My dichtiv, what does it mean? A pasuk that goes in, a pasuk in Kehelos that goes as follows. Yesh hevel asher nasa al ha'aretz. There's a vanity, there's a vain thing that happens in the world. And the pasuk continues, asher, that you have tzaddikim, that there happens to them like what happens to the deeds of the Rishoyim. And you have the Rishoyim, that there happens to them like the deeds of the tzaddikim. So what does that mean? What's the again? What's the asher in the pasuk over there? Asher, you have twice in the pasuk asher. In fact, you have asher nasalot, asher yesh tzaddikim, and asher yesh tzaddikim, etc. And then instead of continuing asher again, then it continues v'yesh rishoyim, v'yesh rishoyim shemagi alem k'matat tzaddikim. So what does all this mean? It means happy, asher, ashrei, or the tzaddikim, that there happens to them, in this world, what's going to happen to the rishoyim in the next world. In other words, that they get their punishment in this world, and this way they'll have a fuller olam haba. Right. And oylahem the rishoyim, and we darshan the v'yesh by the rishoyim, we darshan v'yesh as if v'yesh, woe that there is. So therefore, it means oylahem l'rishoyim. Woe it is to the rishoyim. Shemagia len to ma'asat tzedikim. Shal elam abav elam azeh. When they have, it's bad for them. When they have, like, what's going to happen to the tzedikim in elam abav, that they get a reward and it happens to them by elam azeh. Because then their schar is paid off in this world, and then they get a full experience again. So that's what he's saying. That's what Rav Nachman Baruch Chisda is saying. That's what the pasuk means. However, Omar Rava, says, so are you telling me that the tzaddikim are happy only if they have punishment in this world? Otu tzaddiki i'achli tzeret almi mstani lahu? And if the tzaddikim end up being able to enjoy both worlds, is it a hateful thing? Is it such a bad thing? Halachically permissible. I mean, those ways in which it has to be beheter, of course. You're not supposed to indulge in it. Yeah. I mean, you have the Eibush to put you in the world. You have the famous Yerushalmian Kiddushin that says that the loss of love, a person will be held to account for everything, for everything that's mutter that they didn't avail themselves of. I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean the average person. It means somebody was able to be Mila, somebody was able to be Mavara, probably. Well, right. So you have the argument whether the Nazir is a Choyter or a Kaddish. So Rava is saying, is it such a terrible thing if Tzaddikim are able to enjoy both worlds, Al Mazah and Al Mahabah? What are you telling me that the Pasuk means that a Tzaddik is only truly happy if he has bad in this world and so that he'll have good in the next world? No. Elo Amar Rava. So Rava says, no, that's not what the Pasuk means. Ashreyim or Tzaddikim, Shemagia Alev, Kamasir Shoyim, Shal Oilam Hazeh, Ba Oilam Hazeh. Happiest are the tzaddikim who happens to them what usually happens to the rishoyim in this world, and they also have it in this world. In other words, the rishoyim in this world very often are successful. So when a tzaddik has that, he's successful in this world, and obviously being a tzaddik he'll also be successful in Olam Haba. That's the real ashrei. That's the real happiness. That's ashrei, and it is possible. So that's the asher. That's the yesh hevel asher not asher yesh tzaddikim. So no, not Moshe Asher. That would be an ayin. But Asher, Meloshon Ashrei, happy. So happy is the tzaddik when that's able to happen to them. And Oylahem L'Rishoyim, and woe to the Rishoyim. Again, the V'yesh, we darshan as V'yesh, woe that there are Rishoyim. Shemagi Alem, K'mas HaTzadikim, Shal Olam Hazeh, Ba Olam Hazeh. Where there happens to them, what typically happens to tzaddikim in this world, where typically tzaddikim don't have it very well in this world, because Hashem punishes them for whatever it is that they did, for whatever small things they did, in order that they'll have a full Olam Haba. So woe to the Rishoyim who end up losing both worlds. They end up having a hard time in this world, and they end up they don't have an Olam Haba either because they forfeited it. So says Rava, that's the meaning of the pasuk. That you have the best of all is when you have the tzaddik the tovah, the tzaddik who also has it good in this world, and the rosha v'ralo, the rosha who doesn't even have it good in this world. Marshall talks a little bit about why the pasuk says gamze hevel. So why does the pasuk finish off that this is also vanity? So the reason is because ultimately, even if the tzaddikim do end up having it bad in this world, or even if the rishoyim do end up having it good in this world, don't be so excited about it. It's all hevel. It's all vanity. The real thing is an olam haba. So here's an example to illustrate this. Rav Papa and Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yishua also came to Rava. Rav Papa and Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yishua one time came to Rava, the pashtus learned by him. Amalahu, so we asked them,
Ukim. Is the same Rabbi Yeshua, as we saw previously?
No, that was Rabbi Yeshua the Tana. This is Rabbi Huna Breda Rabbi Yeshua. This is a couple of hundred years later. No, his father was named Rabbi Yeshua, but it's a different Rabbi Yeshua. So Rabbi Papa and Rabbi Huna Breda Rabbi Yeshua come to Rava, the pashtus to learn by him. Amalahu, so we asked them, Ukim to Masechta Plan and Masechta Plan. Have you set up, in other words, have you established this and this Masechta, meaning in other words, do you have it well, do you have it with the, not just did you learn it superficially, but do you know it well inside and out? Amrulay Ein, so they said yes. And he asks them, "Yes, ritu porcha, have you gotten a little bit rich? Do you have some money? So this way you won't have to be worrying too much about karnasa, and you'll be able to constantly be learning Torah." This is their entrance exam, basically. This is and they answer, "Ain, yes, the zavdan kinedahara, yes, because we each of us bought a small plot of land, and therefore we have what to live off from that. We have a source of karnasa." Kori Alaihu. So Rava says, "I'm never." Well, there you have an example of what I just said. Ashrei Mosadikim Shemagi Shemagi Alem Tamati Rishon Shabaylamazet. There you have an example of Sadikim who are able to enjoy both worlds. They're able to enjoy this world and the next world. And the point is, Marshall says, he mentions that you only have a little bit of wealth because, like you were saying before, too much wealth can interfere a little bit with their learning. So like this, they have Also, as one of the Farshim, I think it might be Ben Yehoyada, I don't remember, says the vort on it is that Rava is asking them if you learn this Masechta and this Masechta, and when they answer yes, Rava is asking,
is it because you don't have problems of Panasa, or is it because you have this unusual Tiyaka Dishmaya to be able to learn much faster than usual?
And they answer him, it's not because we had
obviously Tiyaka Dishmaya, you always need Tiyaka Dishmaya to learn, but the Derech HaTeva, because we had less worries about Panasa, because we have a political problem.
And therefore?
So that's it. And now they passed the entrance exam, and
now they're
the lesson for us is that there's better, that Tzaddik is best off. We can have both. We can have a Ketina Dara, yeah. When you're not worried about Tzaddik, yeah, exactly. Amar Rav Babachana, Amar Rav Dichna. More on the topic of Tzaddikim and Rishayim, and it also sort of relates to the previous thing, because before, so we just saw that wealth can comfort in this world. For some people it can be a good thing, for some people the opposite. So here we'll have an example. We're going to discuss an example also as far as mitzvahs. Sometimes you can have that two mitzvahs and avedas. You have two people do the same thing, and for one of them it's a good thing, and the other one it's not. So Amar Rav Babachana, Amar Dichnan. My Dichti, we learned this in Nazir as well a few years back. My dichtiv, what does it mean? It says in the pasuk, "Ki yisharim darchei Hashem." The ways of Hashem are straight. The tzaddikim yelchubam. The tzaddikim will walk in them. You know, they'll go straight in them. Or poshim yikosh lubam. But the poshim, the sinners, will stumble on them. So the implication is, you have one way, something that one person can do it, and he's doing the right thing, and he's walking straight, and the other person does the same thing, and he's doing something wrong, he stumbles. What is this? Moshe l'shnei b'nei adam shasfalo kischeya. As a marshal, we can say two people roasted their korban Pesach, and they ate him. Echad ochle l'shum mitzvah. One of them, when he came to eat it, ate it for the sake of the mitzvah. The echad ochle l'shum achila gasa. The other one just ate it as a gluttonous kind of thing. Rashi explains it here as kinuach soda, like just says, as dessert. Tosfos, by the way, points out in a few places in Shas, and Tosfos Arosh refers to it over here also, there's a few different meanings of achila gasa. Sometimes in the Gemara, achila gasa means that a person is so full that any more food is going to hurt them. That kind of thing is, that's one kind of achila gasa. Here, obviously, he wouldn't be even fulfilling the mitzvah of eating the korban Pesach if he ate it, that kind of achila gasa. And such a thing wouldn't even be considered eating
it.
But not when he's so full that anything more hurts it.
Why server? That's
good. Because it's respectful that way. You're eating it like it's the last thing you eat. Right? You're not eating it like you're ravenously hungry and you're out there. Yeah. So the vote is, you have an achila gasa, like we're saying over here. He is full, but not so full to bursting, but still it's not the right way to do it. Versus you have achila gasa, where it cuts the mizone, where like a nauseous, if he eats anything else, that is not yosef. So Zesha Ochla the Shum Mitzvah Tzaddikim Yechubam, for the one who ate it for the purpose of the mitzvah in the proper way, he's the example of a tzaddik who walks in the straight way. Zesha Ochla the Shum Achila Gasa, the other one who just ate it as a dessert, or whatever, so it will push him Yikosh Lubam, he's the Pesheya who stumbled in it. The question is, Amalei Rishlok, is Rasha Karislai? You're calling such a person a Rasha? Nihid, like other mitzvah Amoka. Fine, granted, he didn't do the mitzvah in the best possible way. Pesach Mila Kalachol. The fact is, he ate the korban Pesach and he was Yotze. Again, because it wasn't the kind of achila gasa where custom is on, where he's nauseous for any more food. It just means he overate a bit. He ate it as a dessert, like Rashi's saying. Fine, it's not the best way of doing it. You can't call him a rasha for that. Ella, no, we have to give a different marshal.
Who gives that?
So Rishlokh is the pashtus is giving it. Marshal Shnei Bnei Adam, a marshal about two different people. Zeh Ishtev Achoyse Ima Bavayis. One has his wife and his sister at home with him. Zeh Ishtev Achoyse Ima Bavayis. The other one also has his wife and his sister at home with him. Then it comes, he wants to have relations. Echad Nizam Nalo Ishtev. One climbs into a bed and it turns out that he ends up with his wife. The Echad Nizam Nalo Achoyse. And the other one ends up with his sister. So Zeh Nizam Nalo Ishtev is the example of Tzadikim Yehubam. Zeh Nizam Nalo Achoyse is the example of a Poshim Yikarshubam. And the vote is, in other words, because we know that Hashem prevents tzaddikim from making bad mistakes like that. So therefore, if he ended up with a choser, then it shows that he's a pesher. It shows that he's a careless kind of person. The problem with that, Marshall, is, me dummy, how can you compare? Anan kamin and chodah derech. We were talking about, we're trying to figure out a way where two people are doing the exact same thing. And for one, it's yelchobah, and the other, it's yukoshobah. Here are two different drachim. One is with two different people. One is his wife, one is his sister. Not a valid comparison. The way we can explain the pasuk is mashal loit or shnei benoisav. You can use the mashal of loit and his two daughters. They did the exact same thing. They were both, the loit was there with the male. They, each one of them was a female. So they're both doing the exact same thing, via. But they were doing it for the sake of a mitzvah, because we know they thought the whole world had been wiped out. This is the only way to perpetuate the human race. Therefore, they're the example of tzaddikim yelchubam, who sheniskavim l'shem avera, as l'shem avera, and loit, who meant it for the sake of avera, he's the example of poshim yikashlubam.
He wasn't, but
that's what Gemara is going to ask. Wait, first of all, the Dilma who named the Shem Mitzvah Machavim. First of all, we have to ask, how do we know Lloyd was doing it the Shem Avera? Maybe he also meant it the Shem Mitzvah. The answer is no. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, because earlier you find Kol HaPosik HaZeh L'Shem Avera. Now, you have an earlier Posik in Parashat Lach Lecha where the whole Posik is redundant, and we doubt in every phrase in it teaches us that Lloyd was interested in Avera, and Avera, unspecified in Gemara terminology, means no. So from that pasuk we see already he was into znus, and therefore now also there's no reason to think that he was doing it the same mitzvah. If he had that taiva before, then the stammer now he was also doing it for the taiva, for the aver. The whole pasuk goes as follows. By yista loita, I'll quote the whole pasuk first. By yista loita zainav, loit lifted up his old eyes. By yaras chokikar ayagin, he saw the entire valley of the yagin. He kula mashka, because the whole thing was well watered. Lifnei shachas Hashem es sdeim es hamurda, before Hashem destroyed sdeim es hamurda, it was kigan Hashem keres es chayim. It was like a garden, it was like the garden of Hashem, like eres es chayim, and therefore he decides to settle over there in the area of sdeim. The point is, though, that whole pasuk is redundant. Who cares that he saw it? The point is, all the pasuk has to say is he left Avraham and settled in Sdeim. So therefore, we learn that the whole pasuk is telling us that he had thoughts of Avraham. Vayisa loit is related to Vaktisa, Eshes Avraham Etenera, is related to a different place where we find the same verb that Potiphar's wife lifted up her eyes and tried to seduce Yosef into Znus. When it continues, and Lloyd's the same thing. It's the Lloyd's. When he's Vayisa as Enoch, it's not just he's lifting up his eyes and saying there's a beautiful kicker I got. He's also lifting up his eyes, having an agenda of Avera. With the people of Sdeim. You know, the people of Sdeim were Royim Mechatoim. They were wicked and sinful. And we learned in Sanhedrin, for example, they were into Znus, because we had the famous thing we said over there, that if a man hits a woman and makes her miscarry, so they would tell him, you keep her by you until you make her pregnant again. So they're into Znus. Yeah. Okay. And when it continues, et Enov, they lifted up his eyes. That relates to the pasuk by Yemesh Shimshin Ugema, that we find that Shimshin says to his parents, Oysakhli, take this girl, this plishy woman for me as a wife, Kihi Yoshra Be'enai, because she's good in my eyes, which is a form of Znus, because, okay, she didn't guy her, but still it wasn't totally the Shem Shemayim. We just had in Gemara in Sota that we're learning now during Sfira, that Shimshon holachata enav, Shimshon inappropriately followed his eyes and therefore pushed and put out his eyes. So yeah, so we see enav is following his eyes in an improper way. By yar, and the puzzle continues, by loit he saw. So that relates to the word by yar oisa shchem ben chamor. So that shchem saw Dina and took her and raped her. Again. Es kol kikar ayarden, it continues that Lloyd sees the whole valley of the Yarden. The word kikar relates to the prophet kibah ad isha zona ad kikar lochem. Because of an isha zona, a person ends up down to his last loaf of bread. Like he loses all his money and ends up spending it on it. And when it says kikula mashke, when it says the whole thing was well watered, that relates to the pasuk where Hosea compares the Jewish people to a woman who's going astray and being unfaithful to her husband, elcha achrei ma'anavai, where she says, I will follow my lovers, noisne lachmi umeimai, the ones who give me my bread and my water, samri upishti, my wool and my linen, shamni vishikuya, here's the key thing, vishikuya, related to the word mashke, my oil and my drinks. So we see that the word drinks, kikula mashke, is related also to milk. So therefore, so that whole pasuk, that whole half a pasuk, whatever teaches us that loit was into Znu.
How was Shikuyi related to Znus?
Because that's what we're saying. Because in Hosea's metaphor over there, he's comparing the Jewish woman to the Jewish people to an unfaithful woman. She says, "I'll follow my lovers who give me drinks." The last thing on her list is drinks. But if you call a mashka, the whole land was well watered, was related to Znus. Right. So that's a remnant to Znus. So we see from that whole half a pasuk that loit was into Znus. Therefore, we can say that he was into Dvarabel. Okay, so the question is, though, like you asked, Valmenus on this, wasn't he compelled into it? He was drunk, so he couldn't have known better. And halacha, in fact, yeah, when a person is drunk to that degree, shechurus shalot, it's possible, yeah. The answer is Tana Mishum Rav Yosi Barav Choni. The answer is we learn in a Braisa in the name of Rav Yosi Barav Choni. Loma Nakod Avav Shabakuma Shabakira. Why is it you have his eldest daughter goes and then lies with him first? Then the next evening the younger daughter does. By the elder one, when she gets up in the it says afterwards Vela Yoda Bashikhlo Bakuma that Lloyd did not know when she lay down and when she got up. Wait. But there's a dot over the vav of the word Bakuma.
Right.
So why the dot? Mean loy malach shav shich v'lo yoda av v'kuma yoda. It means Yitaka didn't realize when she lay down with him, but he did realize when she got up the next morning. He had sobered up enough to sort of realize enough to be able to realize what's going on over here. And, no, but Rashi says on the pasuk over there, even so, he still drank the following night, even though he knew there's a chance the same thing could happen again. So that shows that he was guilty. That shows that he wasn't
the second time.
But even so, it shows that he wasn't totally honest. It shows that he had some idea of what's going on. Yeah. Okay, so the question is, that's the question. Well, my havala isn't there, but so what could he have done at that point? My havala, he had already had relations with his elder daughter, what could he do? The answer is, nakamina, dilapanya achrina, lo yivayla mishte. Still, the next night he shouldn't have drunk. The fact that he did shows that even to begin with, he would have... Because we know the second night they also got him drunk, and then the younger daughter went and lay with him. So if he realized, if he knew from the first one, he should have been careful the second night. The fact that he didn't shows that to begin with, he meant he was into the news. He was into this kind of, Rashi brings on the pasuk over there, by the way, an expression from a medrash that says that a person who is addicted to arayis, the lohut achabumus shal arayis, is an expression like he's addicted to the pleasure of arayis, eventually he's going to end up with his own family members, as happened with Lois. Dorash Rava. So now continuing on the topic of Lloyd, Rava Darshan as follows. My dichtiv, what does it mean? A pasuk in Mishlei, Och Nifsha Mikiryas Oiz, the brother who committed Averis, Nifsha, he committed Averis deliberately, Mikiryas Oiz, from the city of, from the strong city, Umidyonim, and arguments, so the quarrels, Kibriach Arnon, like a bolt, like a power, like a strong bolt on a palace. What does this pasuk mean? Och Nifsha Mikiryas Oiz, the brother who committed Pesha, who committed deliberate Averis, and he had to leave the strong city, the Loit of Pirish Mavram. This refers to Loit, who was originally like a brother, the close relative of Avram, and he ended up having to leave him as a result, and even though it's Avram asked him to go away, but it was a result of Loit's misbehavior, because of the shepherds and all that. So therefore, so he's the Och, who was Nifsha, because of his Averis, Mikiryas Oiz, he was forced to leave the strong city, the strength of Avram, and therefore what happened? When we joined him, no, Avram asked him to leave, but it was because of Lloyd's fault, because of the way he was misbehaving. Because of the whole, no, not because of Nuth per se, but because there's the whole thing with Avraham, the Lloyd's shepherds are quarreling, because Lloyd's going to inherit Eretz Yisrael eventually, because Lloyd says Avraham is childless, so therefore Avraham was forced to ask Lloyd to leave, because he's, So the point is, therefore, so Lloyd is this brother who committed Averis and therefore was forced to leave the strong, powerful city of Avraham. And what was the eventual result? Umidyonim kibriach amen. And therefore there are quarrels like a bolt on a palace, meaning shehit umidyonim ben Yisrael amen. The result is that Lloyd created a permanent rift like between the Jewish people and Amon, who are his descendants, And then Moyov as well. Shenema, well, Yogo Yamoni Moyov is Kal Hashem, because the Pasuk says an Amoni Moyovi may not enter into the congregation of Hashem, they may not intermarry into the Jewish people. So by what Loi did, eventually led downward into a downward spiral where it ended up as a permanent complete separation, like a bolt of a palace, as if like it can't be open between the Jewish people and Adam.
It's called Briach.
Briach means a bolt. That keeps the door closed. Similarly, Dorah, and by the way, Marshall points out in this connection over here, we just said that Lot's daughters, on the other hand, did it the Shem Shemayim, because they really thought the whole world would be populated, etc. The result is from that, one of the results from that is that if only we know the famous halacha, Amoni v'lay Amonis me'ovi v'lay me'ovis, only the male Amoni me'ovim are also changed to marry, not the female. So the Gemara, any of them, there's other reasons, but whatever. One factor that also is because there's Lot versus his daughters. Lot being the male and his daughters being the female, therefore the females who did a Shem Shemayim are allowed to intermarry. Only Lot is the one who barred himself and his male descendants. Similarly, Amar Dorash Rava Vitemer Rava, or some say of Yitzchok Darshan, Maidichdir, what does it mean in another pasuk also in Mishlei, in the same parak, L'savo Yivakesh Nifrod, the one who separates himself looks for taiva, looks for his desires, v'chol tushia yisgala, in all tushia means advice or help or whatever, he is revealed. What does that mean? L'tava yivakesh nifrod, the one who separated himself looks for taiva, z'loit shenifrod me'avram. Again, this refers to Loit, who separated himself voluntarily from Avram. Again, because even Avraham told him he had to leave. First of all, he could have shaped up, and he could have asked Avraham, I'll do tshuva, I'll shape up, I'll forgive me, I'll keep my shepherds under control, etc., let me stay. But he figured, what do I need Avraham for? And the result is, b'chol tushia yisgala. Again, what happens eventually in all tushia, besides tushia means advice or help or whatever, it's a nickname for the Torah. We learned in Sanhedrin that it's called tushia, shematesh es koicha shel adam, and shenit b'chashai, etc. So, shenizgala koine yisgala, he's revealed, shenizgala koine b'vatek nisiyas v'vatek midrashas, that his shame is exposed in the b'vatek nisiyas and b'vatek midrashas. Whenever we learn Torah, and we come across the story of Lot, his color and his embarrassment, his humiliation is revealed for all to see. Ditznan, Ammonium. Yeah, Ditznan, as we learned in that Mishnah. Tanya, really, Ammonium may over Yisturan Yisturalam. But Ammonium and may over are after forever. So that's it. That was all caused by Lot separating himself from Avram. It was the beginning of a downward spiral that eventually resulted in this, that now he has this eternal humiliation. Yeah, so that's how it is. I mean, you have the famous thing. They have the famous thing that the Rebbeim used to say. And a person you don't have a person who's 1 minute walking on the right path, and next minute they're lost in the middle of the forest. It's one step off, and then another, and then another. Yeah. So that's what the Gemara is saying over here. The first step in the wrong direction was leaving Avraham, and then eventually it got worse and worse until he wound up with it. Unfortunately, once a person doesn't have his Rebbe, isn't close to his Rebbe, to his Mashpia, and lives among the people of Tzedayim, then they have the early on, in the early years, when the Rebbe was sending out shluchim to all these places where there's not another frum Jew for hundreds of miles around, people asked, isn't in halacha, you take a pot off a fire, and in practice, you take a pot off a fire, eventually it cools off. You're taking them out of the fire of Crown Heights and Lubavitch and whatever, how are they going to cool off? And the answer is, yes, but if you take the stove along with you, then it'll stay hot and warm up the surroundings. The stove being the Torah, being the Rebbe, it's not just they go off and they sever their connection with the Rebbe. Yeah, so over here, Lloyd made the mistake of being a pot off the fire. We'll stop over here, but I'll tell you in connection with the daughters of Lot, I may have told it to you before, I don't remember, something really fascinating. Rav Moshe Feinstein tells it in the introduction to one of the volumes of Rav Moshe Feinstein's Shuvah Igros Moshe. Yeah. He was the Rav in a city in Russia called Luban for some years. Rav Moshe was the Rav in a city in Russia called Luban for some years. His father was a Rav there, and eventually he succeeded to the position. Anyway. So he used to say that there were people over there who were on a level very close to Ruach HaKodesh. And he tells the story as follows. There was a balabas in town over there who fell sick with some kind of strange disease. His tongue swelled up in his mouth. And I guess it was blocking his throat or whatever. Anyway, I kid through, when he was very, very sick and about to die, he calls in Rav Moshe and he tells him, I want to explain to you, I know why this happened. He says, the Shabbos before I got sick was Parshas Vayera, and we were talking about Noisvoit, and I, you know, and after all, okay, we're saying in our Gemara over here that they meant Lashem Shemayim, but still, you know, Rashi does point out over there that the older one called Moyav to say Me'av, he came from my father, which is a brazen thing to do, and Bechlal, what kind of brazen thing were they doing over there? It's still, you know, Ushmer Mitzvah, whatever, that's
Me'av.
Yeah, that's Moyav comes from Me'av, from my father, right? So, what kind of low lifes were these, whatever, and talking very badly about them. That night, he says, two elderly women came to me in a dream. They said, we're the daughters of Lot. We want to explain to you what's going on here. Why do we, besides that we did it with Shech Shemayim, never mind that. You're asking still, it was a low down thing to do, and why do we call them Moyav, et cetera. We'll tell you. Look, we're the great nieces of Abraham. You know, our father is Abraham's nephew. We're related to Abraham. When we turn up pregnant all of a sudden, would anybody think that we stooped so low as to be Mizana with our own father? No, they would say, what would happen? We could have claimed, look, we're alone in the cave over there. There's no other man there other than our father. You're not going to suspect us of doing anything with our father. What must have happened? We could have just as well claimed that we were impregnated by Hashem, by the Shina. And we could have founded a whole religion out of it, like the Christians did later on. We, Bidzavka, in order not to do that, we admitted it came from a human father, even if it means our own father, in order to make it very clear that a human being, a child, always comes from a human mother and a human father. There's no God impregnating a virgin or anything like that, that's why we did what we did. And then they left. And the guy says, so now I realize what happened to me is I got the same punishment as the Meraglim. I talked Lashon Hara about them, and therefore his tongue swelled up. And he turned over in bed and passed away. That's the story that's told. They came in his dream, yeah. So that gives us, it's brought in the introduction to the eighth volume of Igros Moshe. It was printed after the Moshe passed away, but it's a story that he used to tell sometimes. So that gives us a whole new dimension to what Benoit Floyd did. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, so we'll continue, the Gemara will continue tomorrow on this topic of, again, people who do things that on the face of it are very improper, but still it ends up they did it l'shem shemayim, and therefore it has positive results. So we'll continue with that tomorrow, Mr. Shem.
From Lot came who? Naomi.
So ultimately, I forgot to mention the detail, actually. I forgot to mention in this story with this guy from Laban. So it wasn't just he's not just talking badly about them. He says, I talk, and after all, people, Mashiach is descended. Because, yeah, Ruth comes from Moab, and Nama, Ammonis, Shlomo's wife comes from, and that's the answer. Because we prevented that there shouldn't be, that people are going to think of our children as a new Mashiach, or a son, never mind the Shem Shemayim, but we made sure that people realize that our children come from a human father, and therefore that people aren't going to, like the Christians of Yosh, think that he's a Mashiach or the son of God or whatever. That is why Hashem gave us the proof that the real Mashiach is going to be that.
Yeah. That's
all in the introduction to Igros Moshe Chedek Ches. Yeah.